Well, for several weeks, if I'm honest, I've said, my gosh, the news cycle is slow. Not anymore. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number 877-973-7425 if you want to be on the program. This is the commentary on CNN this morning with Casey Hunt over the Baltimore Bridge collapse.
Andy McCabe is with us now to help us understand a little bit more about what we're seeing. And Andy, I'm very grateful to have you here with us this morning. You know, I think that obviously anyone who watches this video would, of course, have so many questions about how something like this could happen. The fact that the collision was so dead on with that support structure to cause this to happen the way that it did. Obviously, we don't want to get into irresponsible speculating at all. But what can you give people who look at this and wonder, you know, how could this have happened? Could it happen by accident? Did somebody do it deliberately?
I love that. This is the era in which we live. So if you're just tuning in, and we'll get to P. Diddy in a little bit, but a cargo ship headed into the port of Baltimore hit the support structure holding up the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. You have to, the ships go under that bridge to get into the port of Baltimore. It collapsed the bridge. We know now that the ship sent out a Mayday warning. There were construction crews on the bridge. The ship appears visually to have been having electrical problems. We say that because the lights went out on the ship as it's approaching the bridge, and they're trying to get the main spotlight back on it. They can't. The lights come on, go off, come on, go off. They come on again right as it's headed to the support structure of the bridge. It collides. Naturally, because of the age we're in, a whole lot of people rushed immediately to, well, is this terrorism? Civil engineering and computer expert Elite Andrew Tate already saying black swan event. Clearly someone cyber attacked the cargo ship and caused this to happen. I don't know whether you are aware of this or not, ladies and gentlemen, but depending on the age of the ship, it might be impossible for anything like that to happen because the ship is analog. Yes, it has electronic devices, but it's got to be a very new cargo ship. And this one does visually, just looking at it, it doesn't appear to be a brand new cargo ship. You got to have a very new one to have those systems where they can be remotely controlled. A lot of these ships, you got to flip switches and stuff. It's not something that's hackable. A lot of these older ships, it just simply isn't possible because they were built before the age of the Internet of Everything. But it's not stopping people from speculating. Let me just give you the details of what's at stake, though. This bridge is a massive bridge in Baltimore. Goes over the river there. It is named, obviously, for Francis Scott Key, the author of the Star-Spangled Banner. And as of right now, there are at least 40 ships that are trapped inside the port and 30 ships trying to get into the port that are going to have to go elsewhere. The water there is 50 feet deep. We are afraid that there are people who are trapped. The ship, as I was saying, realized it had mechanical troubles, began sending a Mayday signal. There were work crews on the bridge at 1 o'clock in the morning when this happened. The work crews heard the Mayday alerts from the ship and stopped traffic. It is crazy eerie. You can see cars going across the bridge just in the minutes before it happened, in the 30, 45 seconds before it happened. The work crews block a lot of cars, saved a lot. By the way, I got to say, the highway department in Baltimore saved a lot of lives at the risk of their own lives by blocking cars from going across the bridge when they heard the Mayday alert sound from the bridge. It's just remarkable. Now, there's obviously an economic impact to this because the Baltimore port is a significant port. It's the 13th or 14th busiest in the nation, and it ranks number one in the nation for handling automobiles, light trucks, farms, construction equipment, imported sugar and gypsum. So a lot of European manufacturers send their cars to the port of Baltimore for distribution along the eastern seaboard. That's going to impact the supply of automobiles because not every port is capable of offloading those vehicles the way the port of Baltimore can. So you're going to have impact there. You're going to have sugar impact. There are lots of ports along the eastern seaboard, but many of them are at capacity. Not all of them, but many of them are at capacity. By the way, Kat Kamick is the congresswoman for Florida's 3rd Congressional District. If you're on WSKY, WDBO, WOKV down in Florida, you're in her area, Gainesville area, west of Jacksonville, but she's on the Energy and Commerce Committee, which is going to play a direct role in dealing with these sorts of issues. So we've got her on at 2 o'clock to talk about this issue. The port in Baltimore is the second largest export hub for coal in the country. Now, it doesn't just export coal to Europe. This is another problem. A lot of the coal that leaves left the port of Baltimore, not going to be leaving anytime soon, also goes down the eastern seaboard to southern states to power coal-fired power plants there, getting upper mid-Atlantic Pennsylvania coal to the south. When the rail lines have issues, it goes through the ports, and that's not going to be able to happen now. There's a lot that goes through there, but the biggest issue for the Port of Baltimore, even as other ports along the eastern seaboard will be able to overtake supply and compensate for the lack of the Port of Baltimore. So the river is 50 feet deep. They're going to have to cut the frame. It's steel frame construction. They're going to have to cut it. They're going to have to dredge it. That's going to take a lot of time. And they're going to have to do that before they can even begin rebuilding the bridge. All of this is going to complicate the ingress and egress of the Port of Baltimore. And it generates 15,300 jobs. There are in the Baltimore area 140,000 jobs linked to the port, directly 15,300, and then more, and it generates $395 million in annual state and local revenue tax-wise for Baltimore and Maryland. Baltimore is a failing city. The port was the last major industrial economic hub for the city of Baltimore, and it's now offline for God knows how long. That's a serious problem. So it's going to impact the importation of cars and farm equipment. It's going to impact the export of coal. That's going to affect energy prices. It's going to significantly impact the local economy in Baltimore and Maryland. That's going to be impactful. So just randomly in the weird sphere of people I know one of the former Baltimore Port managers. I would call him a shipping channel expert. The way that he was telling me, the way that that area is set up, you don't necessarily need to have tugboats like you do on the Mississippi. If you're trying to get to the port of New Orleans or the port of Baton Rouge, you got to have tugboat captains who are experts. Same with the Savannah River. You have tugboat captains come in. Well, when you get beyond the bridge in Baltimore, typically is when the tugboat captains come to play in Baltimore. But they've got a lot of electronic signaling to be able to get those ships through the bridge before you have local officials help. And all of that sort of stuff has made Baltimore an easy port to get in and out of, given its location to the Atlantic. And also, it's traversing the North Atlantic to get over to Europe. It's a short ride. All of this is taken offline now. It's going to have an economic impact. But never fear, my friends, Mayor Pete is in charge. And there's part of the point to talk about here is they wanted to give Mayor Pete a throwaway position in the administration. He was on paternity leave when you had the Port of Los Angeles problems and the shipping and supply backlogs. He's been AWOL with a lot of the transportation aviation problems we've had. And now we've got the collapse of the bridge in Baltimore. What's Mayor Pete going to do to solve this? The other issue, I got to really talk about this one with you. And I don't want to throw stones. I'm not criticizing or attacking you, even though it might sound like it. The willingness of a lot of people to immediately jump to it was a cyber hack, it was terrorism, it was deliberate. It's not COVID. I think it's 9/11 maybe. But the rise of people who want to catastrophize everything and immediately jump to the worst case scenario, that's not normal. I don't know if you realize this or not, but it's not actually normal to jump to the worst case scenario. And yet a lot of people's brains over the last number of years have been reprogrammed to jump to the worst case scenario. And now some of you will yell back at me, well, we can't believe the government anymore, except the government's never been a paragon of virtue, honesty, integrity, and competence. The government's always been a bunch of incompetent liars, always. yes, more exposed and more amplified to COVID, but this is on you because you jumped to the conclusion the moment you heard the news, not before you heard government dismissals of it not being terrorism. You jumped immediately to the worst case scenario, and more people are doing that. And now the data actually shows the more you pay attention to partisan news, the more you're online, the more likely you are to catastrophize. Bad things have happened the world over since time immemorial. A lot of them are accidents. If Krakatoa, the volcanic explosion, happened today, people would concoct a government conspiracy to blame the government. It is a particular mindset of people today, particularly people engaged actively in partisan politics on both sides of the aisle, who catastrophize everything, and they want someone to blame. And I'm already seeing people say, well, we can't believe anything the government tells us. I mean, we should have a government that can come out and be honest with us and reassure us it's not terrorism, reassure us it's not a cyber hack, but we can't. No. You've never needed the government to tell you what to think in the past. You've never needed the government to tell you what to think. You've always presumed in first case scenarios that it's an accident and only worked your way up to terrorism as the evidence suggested. But now what people are doing is they're going all the way to terrorism, and you got to have evidence to walk back to accident. But oftentimes in accidents, because it's an accident, there is no evidence. And so you settle on worst case scenario, and that's actually on you. It's your responsibility to not jump in every case to the worst case scenario. You're not a sucker for going with it's an accident first, and then later the evidence reveals terrorism or hack or what have you. And none of that's at play here right now. We have none of that, unless you're Andrew Tate, who's online seeding conspiracy theories. People on Twitter already going full bore conspiracy theories. It's the Chinese and a cyber hack. They don't even know if the ship is new enough to have been cyber hacked. Again, most shipping vessels on the sea today are too old to be hacked in the capacity that people are thinking. And that's the way people want to think. And then the news gets right there, too. I played that opening audio from Casey Hunt immediately going, they have Andrew McCabe, formerly of the FBI, on to, please, please, sir, tell us this wasn't disaster. Tell us this wasn't terrorism. What can we believe? It doesn't help when the news media jumps there, too. It programs everyone to catastrophize. Bad things have always happened. Accidents have always happened. As far as any of us know, this was mechanical failure on a ship. It signaled a Mayday warning because it knew it was going to impact the beam, which would not have happened if this was terrorism. And it wouldn't have happened if it was hacked because they would have turned off the Mayday signaling. And the heroes are the workers on that bridge who stood on the bridge and blocked the traffic. And the heroes are the rescue workers who at 2 o'clock in the morning got on scuba gear with high beamed lights to dive into the water to save lost souls. We got to focus on them as well. A lot of people saved a lot of lives, and others sprung into action to save as many as they can. And while the internet is ablaze with the conspiracy theories of the cyber attacks and terrorism, there are still people in the water looking for the bodies of those who might have fallen from the bridge.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. Get the podcast, live stream, email, and social media links by texting Eric to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. Tom, I'm going to go to you. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to call and give offer a comment on the bridge. Back in 1980, the Skyway Bridge fell. Same thing. Big mm-hmm. tanker ran into it, and it collapsed. And part of their rebuild of that is they had to put massive barricades in front of the columns that hold the bridge up. And my thought is, why wasn't that retrofitted on any big bridge in a bay?
Yeah, it does make you wonder. There are going to be a lot of questions and about the ship as well. By the way, Tom, while you bring that up, we're getting some information from the local government officials in Baltimore that the ship signaled, in addition to its mayday, it was having mechanical problems. Electrical problems, it was having mechanical problems, and it we're looking at data here now. The lights on the ship were off and smoke was emitting from the funnel. The ship signaled ahead it was having problems and began the audible alerts for the Department of Transportation employees on the bridge to know that impact was imminent, did what they needed to do. The ship then lost propulsion. The crew is from India. It had a crew of 20. All members of the ship have been accounted for. It's an older ship, too, by the way. Significantly older ship. So we'll continue to keep an eye on the story as it develops. Obviously, big news. The other big news is P. Diddy, Sean Combs. He has had two properties raided. He was trying to board a flight in Miami, was blocked by Department of Homeland Security. His plane left, flew to Antigua without him. And there's a massive human trafficking investigation underway now about the rapper, allegations for years about him. Before I get into that, I got to talk to you because I've been mentioning the $179 a year from Vision Computers things, and I need to clarify this for you guys. You do not have to have bought a computer from Vision Computers to take advantage of this. If you've got your PC from a different company, Vision Computers can still take over the IT support for you, the tech support for you, $179 a year. So if you're a company and you've got PCs and you want Vision Computers quality help, I mean, thousands of five-star Google reviews from them, all you do is call 404-COMPUTE or go to visioncomputers.com. $179 a year, not a month, a year. And suddenly your employees have a number they can call 15 seconds or less. They can get answers on how to deal with their computer if something's going on, email support, printer support, patches, updates, anything you need. Even if you don't want to just not have an IT guy and use Vision, but you want to offload capacity for your IT department because they're overwhelmed, Vision can help. They can also build you computers. And by the way, parents, you can do this for yourself and for your kids as well, not just for companies. 404-COMPUTE, visioncomputers.com, or call them at 404-COMPUTE. Get Vision to help. Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. This is the mayor of Baltimore speaking. I'm sorry. No. This is the governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, speaking a short time ago.
Is there any way to shut down the bridge? Was there enough time for that distress call to trigger something like that?
Now, the thing that we know is that, even as the boat was coming in, we had a ship at 8 knots, so coming in at a very rapid speed. We do know that the investigation is currently going on, but I have to say I'm thankful for the folks who once the once the warning came up and once notification came up that there was a mayday, who literally by being able to stop cars from coming over the bridge, these people are heroes. They saved lives last night.
Right.
Yeah, they really, really did. The video is incredible, just genuinely incredible watching this boat come in. Jim, you're going to be up next on the show. Welcome, Jim from Indiana. How are you?
Oh, it's a fun day in the neighborhood. I was stationed in D.C. in the military when that bridge was opened up, and I got a couple questions and a comment.
Okay.
It's my understanding the boat was leaving. And if it lost power, I just wonder how strong the river current was to shove it into the bridge.
I don't know. There are obviously some tidal forces at play. They're already talking about the tidal forces at work on that river. Apparently stronger than I expected. So 1 o'clock in the morning, probably, and you do have a full-ish moon, so you definitely have tides that are impacting it. I'm not an expert and I don't want to speculate, but it looks like you can see the smokestack on the ship fire up like they were trying to get some extra power and could not steer the ship out of the line of path of that column.
And the other comment is if the bridge is still there, on the north end of the bridge, if you turn right, it was Sparrow's Point. There used to be a steel mill out there. It's been closed down for about 15 years or so. And I have seen ships in there, whether it's deep enough for an ocean goer, I don't know, but I'm just wondering how long it would take for somebody to check it out and bring in some portable cranes or something to be able to get a little bit of freight in and out.
Yeah, okay. So as a matter of fact, my buddy who was involved with the Port of Baltimore actually sent me a note and said that Volkswagen has offloaded its capacity to south of the bridge for its auto import exports. And it's actually around the Sparrows Point area, which is south of the bridge. That is port capacity there. They can offload some in, but it's pretty narrow. And also that they apparently, from if I'm understanding this text message thread that I'm at, there actually is a salvage operation now that operates out of Sparrows Point where the steel capacity used to be. They now recycle steel, and they're already at work this morning working on the bridge to try to get out of the way.
Well, that's exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm working for a steel mill, picking up salvage to feed the mill.
Wow. Yep. So, yep, there's one there
I've
now.
I've been to both ports in Baltimore there. The one on the south side, vehicles can get to it. I know they've got a couple cruise lines that go in and out of that side.
Yeah.
The other one's Dundalk, and they used to haul a lot of Caterpillar for export out of that one, but regardless, both ships got to go under the bridge to get to both of them.
Yeah, you know, so I'm looking at the map right now, Apple Maps, and yeah, they've already got this. The whole it is miles of interstate section there that is completely shut down. It's Interstate 695, and it is a lot of miles of interstate that have been taken out of operation because of the closure of the bridge.
Right now, you've got two tunnels basically downtown to get under the bay, or you add about 20 miles of the trip by going around the west side.
I can see traffic building. I'm looking at the traffic maps. It's going to be a heck of a commute for people trying to get to D.C. from Baltimore from some of those areas. Jim, listen, I appreciate you listening online in Indiana. Thanks for the phone call. Y'all, we got to talk about the P. Diddy situation. I'm going to keep you up to date on this. This is a developing story, the bridge situation in the boat in Maryland. We're learning information. Older ship, it had has had prior mechanical issues in the past. I'm not going down the road without any evidence. And this is the wild time that we live in, that people presume terrorism or cyber hacking without the evidence, and then they demand the evidence to prove it wasn't that. Well, there typically is evidence of the hacks, and there's not evidence in the accident. And yet people have reprogrammed themselves to catastrophize everything out of the gate. And then they say, well, we can't believe the government anymore. But you didn't need the government to tell you stuff ahead of time. You presumed not to go with the worst case scenario immediately. Well, with P. Diddy, we can go with the worst case scenario. You know what his problem is? He wasn't Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein surrounded himself with rich white people. Had P. Diddy surrounded himself with more rich white people, he wouldn't have had the FBI come raiding his houses at gunpoint, no less. At gunpoint. So the scenario is P. Diddy was down in Miami about to get on his private plane to leave the country. His plane was going to Antigua. And the plane left, and there was a lot of speculation he was on the plane, but he wasn't. He stayed in Miami. New reports are he was advised not to leave the country by the feds as his homes were raided. So what's all this about? Human trafficking. Jeffrey Epstein, we still don't have all the records of Jeffrey Epstein, and that is remarkable. But there have been years of allegations about P. Diddy and sex trafficking. He has houses in Miami and in Los Angeles. He's not under arrest yet. His plane has left the country. Three women and a man were interviewed by police in Manhattan over allegations of sex trafficking, sexual assault, and the solicitation of and distribution of illegal narcotics and firearms. Police sources told the New York Post that agents were looking to seize phones and computers in the raid. Feds were seen walking out of his Miami home with boxes of evidence and a bag containing two laptops. The raids come after Diddy's ex-girlfriend, Cassandra Ventura, better known as Cassie, accused him last year of sexually abusing and assaulting her throughout their relationship. She filed a lawsuit in November claiming she faced a cycle of abuse, violence, and sex trafficking. until her relationship with Sean Combs ended in 2018. The two settled the lawsuit the day after it was filed, but three other women then filed claims against him. Another lawsuit was filed in February of 2024. Rodney Lil Rod Jones, who helped produce Sean Combs' most recent album, claimed that the mogul sexually harassed, drugged, and threatened him from 2022 to 2023 as they worked together. Now, he's denied the claims. Cops swarmed his homes at Star Island in Miami Beach. Federal investigators were said to have shown up at his private dock on boats. He bought a home on Star Island for $14.5 million. It's 19,545 square feet with 9 bedrooms and 12 bathrooms, and then bought a second 8,000 square foot estate on the island from Gloria Estefan. Wow. That's some big property. Now, they also raided his home in Homely Hills in near Beverly Hills. They blocked property. He bought the property in 2014 for $40 million. And that's where we saw them pulling some guy out in handcuffs, walking him backwards. So now, here are more some total of the allegations. So Cassie, the ex-girlfriend, accused him of sex trafficking. Joy Dickerson alleged in a lawsuit that he raped, drugged her and raped her and filmed it when she was 19 in 1991. Another woman says that he and another man sexually assaulted her and a friend in 1990 or 91 and then showed up in her apartment several days later and beat her. Then another woman claims that she was gang raped by three men, including him and another guy, the president of Bad Boy Entertainment in 2003. She would have been 17 at the time. He's denied all of the allegations. He said this is just a series of character attacks. Well, something has come to a head because Homeland Security participated in the raid. Now, I don't think you can say, had P. Diddy been white like Jeffrey Epstein, this would not have happened to him. However, I think you can say, had P. Diddy surrounded himself with a bunch of rich, white, powerful people, just like Jeffrey Epstein, this might not have happened to him, because look at Jeffrey Epstein, who, yes, I realize is dead. He hanged himself like Christmas ornaments in a jail cell. P. Diddy at least is alive for now. But there's a side story here. We have Sean Combs, we have Jeffrey Epstein, we have all of these stories, and yet people still want to dismiss human trafficking as a thing. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, some of you are about to get triggered by what I'm about to say. I'm sorry to do it to you. Yesterday, Holy Monday, Christians commemorated the time Jesus made a whip and beat the money changers and threw them out of the temple. Today is the day Christians commemorate Donald Trump selling a version of the Bible. It's the only Trump-approved version of the Bible. Really? No, it says so on the website for the Patriots Bible. Is the Bible officially endorsed by President Trump? Yes, this is the only Bible endorsed by President Trump. I wonder what the version of the Bible is. Is it King James only? It's a handwritten chorus to God Bless the USA, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance, and yes! Yes! It is in the King James Version of the Bible. God's own words. Y'all, I'm sorry, but I don't care if you only read the King James Version of the Bible, but you do know that it was a political act writing the King James Version of the Bible, and the original Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek, not in English language of the era of King James. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I wonder how the Seventh Commandment reads in this version, in the Trump-endorsed version of the Bible. Does the Seventh Commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, exist? Oh, my gosh. When you're weaving your politics and your religion together, this is the sort of stuff that happens. Maybe leave your politics out of Jesus Christ's world. My goodness. This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. They're in Noonan, Georgia. They can help businesses across the country. If you're buying a building, building a building, you're buying a franchise, you're buying out a business partner, buying out a competitor, First Liberty wants to help you. You go to FirstLibertyGA.com. If you're in Kalispell, Montana, if you're in Sacramento, California, if you're in Miami, Florida, it doesn't matter. They can help your business. If you need $250,000 or more, reach out to them. FirstLibertyGA.com. FirstLibertyGA.com. My friends, when we come back, I got to go back. The NBC News controversy over Ronald McDaniel continues to rage. Rage of the Mad Owl on MSNBC. Over hiring the former chairwoman of the Republican National Committee to be on the program. Boy, do I have some pointed thoughts on this matter.